The Bible played a pivotal role in the founding of America. The vast majority of the founding fathers were professing Christians involved in Trinitarian churches. Of course, not all of them, but most of them were. Fast forward to today, though, and we find that unbelief has gained a strong presence in our schools and major institutions. And it's been like that for the last century or so. But one of the great bright lights for the Christian faith was the Oxford and later Cambridge professor C.S. Lewis, who was a best-selling author on behalf of Christianity. In fact, during the 1940s, when he wrote one of his books, he was actually on the cover of Time magazine. The book in question was The Screwtape Letters. Dr. Art Lindsley has served at the C.S. Lewis Institute since 1987 and has even served as its president. And the C.S. Lewis Institute is not the only organization dedicated to this incredible author, C.S. Lewis. In fact, he's been described as the greatest Christian author of the 20th century. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome back to the program Dr. Art Lindsley. Thank you so much for joining us, Art.
Well, it's great to be with you today, Jerry.
Sure. Ed, tell us, as a starting point, what is the C.S. Lewis Institute? And it's my understanding that this is not the only organization dedicated to this incredible writer from Oxford and later Cambridge.
Well, the essential idea about C.S. Lewis Institute, it was meant to be not specifically about C.S. Lewis, but really about C.S. Lewis' life and really be inspired by him. But the purpose statement that we have is, in the legacy of C.S. Lewis, the Institute wants to develop disciples that can articulate, defend, and live faith in Christ through personal and public life. And so we want to follow the model of C.S. Lewis as being a layperson who really was profoundly knowledgeable in the faith, but lived out his life as a English professor and someone that was in not ordained ministry, but someone who's a real model for people that live everyday life.
Sure, and I should point out, you are the author of a book called C.S. Lewis's Case for Christ. That book is still available. People can get more information at artlindsley.com. Your last name is spelled L-I-N-D.
Probably just get it better on Amazon. You can just get it on Amazon.
Well, whatever. Okay. But they can get more information at your website. But let's go ahead and I do want to ask you this. Your organization is not the only one out there that's dedicated to C.S. Lewis. I mean, it's kind of fascinating. There's like a cottage industry or something related to, or of interest related to this incredible author.
There are lots of little study groups out and around. One of the groups that Stan Matson founded was C.S. Lewis Foundation, which is also in existence, but there are lots of little study groups in different places that I've come across. So there's a fascinating interest in Lewis because I think he had incredible ability, particularly the ability to be able to address the faith, both in terms of reason and imagination. In fact, he made this statement one time at the end of one of his essays that reason is the natural organ of truth, but imagination is the organ of meaning. That we don't really understand anything unless we have a picture, metaphor, or image or story with which we can associate it. And C.S. Lewis was a master of that, in that certainly he wrote his fictional works like Narnia Chronicles or Space Trilogy and that sort of thing, where he was able to communicate in fiction a lot of his most profound ideas. But he was also able, say, in Mere Christianity and in other writings, to use pictures, metaphors, or images to just drive home the truth of what he was saying. So you read through a passage and you hear an illustration, and you go, aha, I get it. He's made it clear by the picture, metaphor, or image that he's used. And he was certainly very influential back in Britain right after he started. He was perhaps the second best known radio voice in England, second only to Winston Churchill, after he'd done the radio broadcast that actually became the book Mere Christianity. And he wrote tremendous numbers of books in a wide range of areas. Like in apologetics, we understand some of those books like Mere Christianity and Problem of Pain and Miracles and others. But he also wrote a lot of books in English literature. He wrote English literature in the 16th century, which it took him 16 years to write, because he felt like he needed to read every book in English literature in the 16th century in order to write the book, which is amazing. And he had almost photographic, well, he had a photographic memory where he said he was cursed by the ability not to forget anything that he ever read, which is amazing. One time, some people tested him on that. He was at a going away party. Actually, he went from Oxford to Cambridge at one point where they offered him a full professorship at Cambridge. And he was at a going away party in Magdalen College. And he just mentioned this. He was having trouble writing poetry because when he'd write a couple lines, he found he would remember that they were actually plagiarized from something he had read before. And so someone said, "Surely you don't remember everything that you've ever read." He said, "Well, yes, I do." And so someone ran to the Magdalen College Library and got a little book, a long lost or not often read book on poetry. And he said, "Have you read this book?" Yes. And he opened it to a particular page and started reading a couple lines. And C.S. Lewis put a hand up and he quoted about the next 10 lines verbatim. And after a while, people were totally silent because they couldn't believe this kind of ability to be able to have an incredible memory with everything that he ever read. Of course, he also became famous through the BBC and the Hollywood version of Shadowlands, which kind of exposed him to a much larger audience. The BBC version was actually won an award for a documentary on Lewis, but Shadowlands with Anthony Hopkins and Deborah Winger was also a hit at some point that really exposed a part of his life that people don't necessarily know about, where his marriage to Joy Davidman and the things that surrounded that. So he's become really influential. Many people have read Mere Christianity, and people thought, in fact, C.S. Lewis thought that his books would just disappear from sight after a little while after he was had passed away. But it's amazing how much C.S. Lewis is still prominent in our culture and known by many people, either for his fiction or for his other writings.
And just to put things into perspective as to when he died literally the same day John F. Kennedy died. So that's how long ago we're talking about here. Now, here's a quote from you.
1963.
Right, exactly. Here's a quote from you, Art Lindsley. Lewis knew what it was like not to believe. He struggled with many doubts along the way to faith. Since he was an ardent atheist until age 31, Lewis's experience and education prepared him to understand firsthand the most common arguments against Christianity. So how did that man, who's been described in one movie as the most reluctant convert in all of England, how did he come to believe in Jesus?
Well, it was interesting. He was confirmed atheist and had read a number of books that, and really through his education, developed a number of different doubts in a variety of areas that really was holding him back. Things like on the problem of evil or on the idea of myth. He started to think of a lot of the different things that were written in the New Testament as mythological. And he, when he got to Oxford, he met J.R.R. Tolkien, and he wasn't too impressed with Tolkien at first glance. He said, wrote in his journal, that J.R.R. Tolkien was a pale, fluent chap only needing a slap or so. So he wasn't too impressed originally, but then he got to know Tolkien and really started to come with him and spend more time with him. And Tolkien had a little group called the Kolbiters. It was the whole idea was you had to learn Icelandic to join the group because it was studying Icelandic myth and ancient writings there. And so he joined the group, and he, being an atheist, got to know the various people involved and was really surprised that some of the most intelligent people as part of that group happened to be Christians and even supernaturals. They believe in the supernatural classical view of Christianity with the resurrection and the miracles and all kinds of other things there in Scripture. And that really surprised him. Yeah, and after a while, he spent time with Tolkien, regularly having a breakfast or lunch during that time, and kind of culminated in a discussion at Magdalene College one time when they're having dinner, where C.S. Lewis said, myths are lies. And Tolkien said, no, they're not. And they proceeded an all-night debate, which started in the place where they're having dinner and then ended up walking the paths of Magdalene College. And they were really debating this idea. And basically, Tolkien was arguing something along this line, that the myths, there are many myths that are out there. And it's not surprising that there are such a myths. I mean, we know the nature of the human mind. In fact, I've even heard separately that there are only 8 basic stories and all the other stories are variations of those stories. In any case, it's not surprising that there are many of those kinds of myths out there. But the only question is there any kind of myth that was actually real, or a myth become history, or as he put it, a myth become fact? And C.S. Lewis was gradually finding from various places that there was astounding more credibility than he had originally thought about it. And one of the most hard-boiled atheists that he knew was sitting around, they were sitting around a fire together having a drink, and this guy said, well, rum thing, it almost looks like that this whole thing of the death and resurrection of Christ actually happened. And he was so totally surprised, because this is an atheist that never gave any quarter, any opening for Christianity. In any case, the idea of the myth become fact started to rattle around in his brain. And for a couple years, he started to, first of all, believe in God. He said at one point he felt the unrelenting approach of the one who he desperately desired not to meet. And then he said afterwards he was really searching for what form of belief in God he wanted to have, and he went through the different religions.
All right, just so you know, we have about 2 minutes left, but this is fascinating. Go on, please.
All right, and after a while, he came to the idea that that Christianity was the one that was seemed to be best. But he was on a ride with his brother to the Whipsnade Zoo, and he was riding in a sidecar. When he left for the Whipsnade Zoo, he didn't believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. When he arrived at Whipsnade Zoo, he did. And he said, nothing really happened in between. It's just like he woke up. Like you, first thing you wake up in the morning, you realize you're awake. He woke up to the idea that faith in Christ, that Christ was the Son of God. And
but,
so that's...
That is a fascinating point. And I know that in his book, Surprised by Joy, he goes into the details of some of these things. But, okay, Isis and Orisis from ancient Egypt, those are myths. Zeus from ancient Greece, that's a myth.
Right.
But Jesus of Nazareth is a real historical figure.
Exactly. I mean, that's it. And there's plenty of basis for that kind of history. And some of the other books I write, in the C.S. Lewis's Case for Christ, I address it, but also in various lectures. I've got a lecture series that's on YouTube called Basic Apologetics Course, where I have 20-hour-long lectures that deal with various aspects of different questions about the faith that need to be answered. And sprinkle with a lot of C.S. Lewis throughout those talks. So,
all right. Any closing thought in 15 seconds on C.S. Lewis and what he has to teach us today?
Well, I mean, C.S. Lewis made this comment about the whole issue of the faith. It's not just about particular arguments, but it says, I believe in Christ as I believe the sun is risen, not because I can see it clearly, but because by it I see everything else.
Oh,
and so he could see by looking at that, it's really everything that points to Christ.
All
not
right.
Just particular arguments, but faith and life.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Art Lindsley, and his website is artlindsley.com, and name of his book, again, is C.S. Lewis's Case for Christ.